Man, Barbara, I thought I was prepared for you today. I don't know a lot of things.
That's okay, we'll get you there. We'll get you there. Hello, and welcome to the Financials Podcast, Future Rich. My name is Barbara Ginty, and I am your host and a CFP, which stands for a Certified Financial Planner. And I'm very excited to have Selena with me this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming on the show.
I'm really excited.
I'm like, I can't believe we're in the process of recording. I think it's season 4, which is crazy to me. We're over 100 episodes now.
That's amazing. And you know what? I'm like that. I started from the first one. So I started from yeah.
Oh my God. The first ones, I feel like I'm going to apologize because I know the audio was horrible because we were like just trying to figure it out to see if it would work. So we were just recording in like a conference room in my office.
That's funny. No, yeah, I started from the bottom, and then it's cool to see how much like everything's changed or little things have changed and stuff like that. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it has evolved a little bit. I do feel like we finally have better audio. So that is amazing. Yeah, I came up with the idea in a bar, and then my friend and I like decided, because you know all the best ideas happen while you're having drinks at a bar.
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah, we'll just like do some podcast in my conference room on a Saturday. We'll like put out like a Facebook message, and then we got all these girls, like obviously we didn't know, and they all really liked it. At the end of the day, we were like, we think that this like could really be a real podcast. So then we just kept trucking.
Yeah, like all of them that I think apply to like whoever I went to grad school with or something, I'll send it to them because like we always talk about money like in the office because we're kind of like, what do we do? So I think there was one specifically, I forgot which one, but I sent it to her because I was like, oh, this talks about, we'll talk about it later. But I told her like, oh, it talks about the public service loan forgiveness. So I sent it to her because we had so many questions and you answered pretty good with it. So I was like, oh, listen to this.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so great to hear.
Yeah,
because you never know. I just did one right before you. And I think it was like really the only girl I've had on whose situation was so similar to my sister. And I was like, man, you guys are, it took almost 100 people, but you guys are almost pretty similar with your financial situations, which is pretty cool. Well, great. Well, tell me a little bit about yourself. You just sent me a really organized document. You know, I love a good spreadsheet or document. So give our listeners an overview, age, married, not married, what you do for work, what you make, all that sort of jazz.
Okay. So I'm 25. I'm engaged. And I am a children's social worker for the county. I live in Los Angeles right now. We have a apartment. And then I know Los Angeles is really big. So just to kind of narrow the area and to, I guess, get a better idea of why rent is so expensive. It's like probably like 5 to 10 minutes from downtown LA. Yeah, but only temporary. So
yeah, LA, I feel like New York city area and then California have been like some of the super high rent numbers that we've seen.
Yeah, it's very high. When people hear it, they're like, what? But I'm just like, it's temporary. Like, hopefully, you know, we could get ready for a house.
Not forever.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then how much do you make as a social worker?
So salary, right?
Yeah, salary, please.
Okay, so after tax?
Sure.
Am I correct? Okay. So after tax, it's about 50. Before tax, it's 66. Yeah. So $50,700, pretty much on the dot.
Okay.
Yeah. So then monthly, I bring in like $4,225. And then I get paid every 15th and 30th.
Perfect. Okay. So then it's not 26, it's 24 paychecks. And so it works out to be the $4,225 a month.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, great. I love monthly breakdowns. Awesome. Okay. And so then I do want me to run through, I have all of your expenses, but so I feel like the real sticker shock one is the rent at $1,750.
Yes. So the rent, as of right now, my fiance pays the rent. So all the other monthlies I kind of pay for. So he does rent and then like his own like phone and car. And
Okay.
then I kind of like get all the utilities and stuff like that.
So you have
Yeah.
car at 300, storage at 105, phone at 70, Wi-Fi at 50, Amazon food, Wells Fargo payment, electric, and then car insurance, which car insurance looks like it's probably like $60 a month because it's every month.
Yeah, about.
Okay, so then your expenses come to what, 1,000, just for monthly expenses, 1,000, we'll just say 1,025. Does that sound right?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Okay, perfect. And so you're living with your fiance, so he pays the rent. What does your fiance do for work?
He is a software developer.
Oh, okay, great.
So he gets he makes a little more, but about the same, give or take a couple. Like I think he gets $100 more for also to the 15th and the 30th, he gets paid.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so pretty comparable. And so the way you've split it is he does rent and then you do everything else.
Yeah.
Perfect. And
For right now, I think we talked about it. Like whenever we do get a house or something, we're gonna split like all of the like mortgage, utilities, food, phones. We're gonna kind of get everything together and then split it at that time. But for right now, it's just working good for us to do it like this.
perfect. It's everyone does it differently, so I always just like to ask.
Yeah, and I've been asking so many people, like, how do you do it? Like, do you combine your finances? So many people say combined it. You're like, they're like, you're married, you're one, combine it. And so many other people are like, dude, have your separate stuff. So I'm like, I think we just need to do trial and error, kind of see how it's gonna work.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it depends on the couple. And I think whatever works for you is probably the best. My dad always described personal finance like putting on a jacket. And if you take the jacket like off the rack, like it might fit some person perfectly, but then other people are going to have it altered to fit them perfectly. So whatever fits you and your fiance the best is what's best for the two of you. It is interesting because I feel like so many people do it differently. Like I talked to one girl and they basically have a rule in their marriage where if you're going to spend over $500 or something like high, you have to check in with the other person and not because they're in control, but just like out of like a courtesy kind of check in.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm going to spend a lot of money on this. I've heard all sorts of things. I've heard people who do it totally separate, you know, where they just put money into like all the like everything, their checking accounts are all different, and then they just can kind of each take a bill and split it that way. And then people do it the total opposite, where like all the money goes into just a joint account. So yeah, it's really different, and I feel like no one really talks about it.
Yeah, it's and then so it's funny because when they do talk about it, I feel like I'm opening that door because I'm asking them. So I feel like when the time comes, they're gonna be like, "So what'd you do?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't want to tell you."
I was just gathering information.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, it was just for a survey. It's fine. We don't need to talk about it
Yeah,
anymore.
I'm not participating in yours. I'm just doing my own survey. Okay, well that sounds good. Okay, so similar, I was just curious, like similar salaries. And then it looks like we have some, it looks like you have a really great retirement benefit that they match 9%, or you're doing 9% and they're matching 5%, or walk me through the benefits.
Yes. Okay. So the retirement, I have no idea. It was kind of just something that we signed up for. There wasn't really a, I don't want to say there's not an option, but it's just something that the company signs everyone up for. So it says that it's a retirement general plan G with Lacera. So I have no idea. It just says contribution rate 9.11%.
Okay.
So Yeah, I don't know much about the retirement one.
Well, because so you're a county employee, so you're a government employee, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and so what are you looking at one of your retirement statement now, or are you looking at it online?
Yeah, it's kind of just it was kind of like a welcome letter
Okay.
saying like what they signed me up for. So, what I'm looking at, it just says retirement plan, General G, membership date, August 1st of this of 2020, and then my birthday, and this is contribution rate, 9.11, and then entry age 25.
Okay, so it looks like they're contributing 9% of your salary. Do you know how much you have in there currently?
I do not know.
Okay, so that you're going to have a little homework after our podcast.
Okay, great.
So I want you to go find out how you access it and make sure. I want you to make sure a couple of things. I want to make sure they're, and you can also check on your pay stub that money's going into your work retirement plan. It's probably a def it should be, I think, like a deferred comp plan or 457, just for
So
government.
the Horizons one that's under it, the
Yep.
5% match, I know that one's a 457B.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so that one's the one I put in 5%, so it comes out to like $175.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I put that in and then they match it.
Perfect. Okay, so that so the 457B, you're putting money in and they're matching 5%.
Yes.
Are you putting in 5 to get the 5?
Yes.
Okay, so you're doing.
Well, I'm putting in 5, and they said something like in the entry orientation or whatever that they match like 4 point something, but so I just put 5.
Okay, perfect. So then you're
Yeah.
probably doing about 9% total with their money and your money, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you picked investments inside of it, right?
I don't know.
Okay, we're gonna check on that. And then I think with your
Okay.
other one, do you get a pension with your job?
Yes. From my understanding, after 5 years,
Okay. And are you planning on staying in the government job?
I plan to. Okay, so I really plan to because of, I mean, I know we're gonna get to it later, but the my student loan debt. I'm trying to do the public service loan forgiveness, so I know that that's like 10 years. So I just feel comfortable knowing that this job for sure covers it. So that's why I would like to, but whatever happens, happens. I know one of our goals as a family is to move to San Diego one day. They obviously have a child services their own thing over there too. So I'm not worried about that. It's just yeah, I just want to make sure it's covered because that I have a
Yeah,
hefty
you have a hefty.
student
Okay,
loan.
so I was just curious because I think it would be beneficial to you to understand more of the benefits of the government job.
Yeah.
So we could do a little homework where you get me some of those documents and I could take a look for you just so you have a better understanding of what's available to you and what you're going to get. And I would also find out just if you are thinking about San Diego down the road, if you could stay in the government system, right? Even though it's maybe a different county, you're still in the state of California. So maybe those.
Yes, yeah. So yeah, pretty much it would just be like a transfer. It's the same exact company.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
Just the only thing I'm like, damn, is it's a really big pay cut because Los Angeles County, it pays the most for the child services
Okay.
here. Yeah, so if I go to San Diego, I believe I've calculated it and it's like a
Wow.
$20,000 difference. Yeah. So that's what I'm nervous for.
Well,
But
and then maybe even that
cool.
you're in a different financial position, but I think for two reasons, understanding your benefit and if you're going to stay in this field, staying within the government system for two reasons. One, you can make sure you're going to take advantage of all the benefits the government job offers. And then two, yes, you have a very hefty loan amount. I have you, what you sent me is 125,000, almost 126,000.
Yes.
Yikes. Okay. So, you are going to do the public service loan forgiveness program, right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And you understand the program?
Yeah, so I'll tell you what I understand and then you tell me if it's right or not. Okay, so I'm in the process because I was like, who do I send this to? Because I know you have to get some type of paperwork approved. I think it's every year.
Yes, you have to have certified.
Yes. Yeah, so you have to get paperwork approved every year and then just keep getting that and obviously keep my documentation. And then once the 10 is up, with consecutive payments, once the 10 is up, then I submit everything and then hopefully get loan forgiveness. Because I've just been watching like videos where people don't do it right or they didn't know that you had to get paperwork signed and then come 10 years, like they weren't eligible. So,
Yes, the statistics on it are staggering of how
yeah.
people are unable to do it correctly. But yes, you have to have it recertified every year. You have to make the qualifying payments, right? And then I'm just trying to think of like what else I've seen people mess up with. Do.
Have you worked with anybody that's been successful with it?
I have not. The thing is, it hasn't been from when it's been in, when it was initially conceived, the concept, right, to 10 years out, we haven't had, I mean, the first round of people who qualified, you know, who met the 10 years, there were so many mistakes that so few people qualified. I have not worked with anyone who has successfully done it because I feel like most of the people I've worked with are in the program. I've met with people who have definitely made mistakes where they're like, they thought they were 4 years in and they weren't because they didn't recertify.
Yeah.
Or they weren't actually in the public service program, right? They didn't initially get in because then your loans basically, I'm just trying to refresh my memory on it. You have to be in one of the income-based repayment programs. And so that means that your loans are then moved over into a different third party. One of the women I met with hadn't ever done that. She was working for a qualifying institution, but like hadn't actually, she wasn't on an income-based repayment program. I'm not sure how she thought she was in the program, but she hadn't taken the initial steps to get in.
Yeah, because I was looking at it the other day and there were, I wish I kept track of what the two were, but there were two that were like income based. They kind of worked with what I could pay. But I was reading and like one was like, this one's beneficial if you file joint. This one's, well, like I'm thinking when
When you get married.
me and my fiance, yeah, when we are married. So this one's like, oh, this one is when like this one's good if you file joint. This one's good, but you have to file separate or something like
Yeah,
that.
I do think you're gonna have to look at that before you get married, how you're gonna have to structure your taxes, because the income base is based on your income. So if you're married filing joint, they're gonna look at both incomes.
Yeah. So, I was thinking of just doing the, 'cause my mom always tells me, like, file separate, file separate. And I'm like, and I have no idea what any of that means. Like, so I'm like, okay.
Did you know that Future Rich offers three online classes in partnership with SUNY Ulster? Well, you're in luck. We do. We have our Future Rich Signature course, our Student Loans course, and our brand new Social Security course. All of these classes can be found on our website at www.futurerichpodcast.com.
So married filing joint, I would say, is the most forgiving of the tax brackets. You get, not that the government should encourage you to be married, but I feel like you get a little bit more of a break married filing joint than you do as a single filer. So basically, married filing separate isn't advantageous, except in this situation, because it basically makes you. You don't get the advantages of married filing joint. If you do married filing separate, you're basically almost like a single filer. So you're not getting the
Yeah.
advantages. But for you in this instance, you would want to just show only your income, right? Because you're going to be paying based on income-based repayment program that you're in the public service loan forgiveness. So I think married filing separate would make the most sense, but I would absolutely talk to an accountant. And I can give you a name of a woman who's very good with student loan. And this is the way I look at these things. this is going to be 10 years of your life. This is a very difficult program. It's very convoluted, and there have not been that many people that are successful with it. I think it's worth paying an expert in who like really focuses just on this to make sure that you have it all right.
Yeah.
So I think that would be prudent. If I were in your shoes, it's a lot of money. And if you can get this forgiven, and especially with the public service loan forgiveness, there's no tax bill at the end of it, which is huge. I would say it's worth getting a second opinion just to make sure that you understand the program well and that all your forms are in and everything is accurate.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah. If you have any suggestions of somebody who can help me with that, I totally want to do that.
Yeah. So I've had her on my show. Her name is Leslie Tain. She's a debt attorney. I would definitely pay for a consultation through her office just to make sure all your paperwork is the way they think it needs to be to make sure that you're on the right track with this program.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah. And you could listen to, I did a podcast with just her. We'll probably have her back on the show. She has been working with student loans, I want to say for like over 20 years. So she just has an incredible knowledge about debt and debt forgiveness.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. And then like the other things, I mean, we can talk a little bit about it as well, is, as we said, you just need to make sure it's a qualifying institution, that you get it recertified every year. You also want to make sure that all of your loans are in the income-based repayment program system, right? And I just would have to double check. I forget who the administrator is for that. Who's administering your loans right now?
Okay. I thought I understood, but I could totally be wrong. After hearing a bunch of your shows, I'm like, dang, do I really? It just says Fed Loan. So I did it all through FAFSA. Okay. So is that true that, because it's kind of, it just says Fed Loan, but obviously like I have like 8 of them.
I think so, but we're going to have to double check. I just didn't prep on this before we started talking, and I haven't looked at it in a little bit. So I don't want to say anything without having just refresh my memory. So I'll double check on that for you and get back to you just to make sure. Yeah. I just felt like, and just haven't looked at it in a while, I felt like they all had to be underneath the same. So they're all Fed loans, which is good. It means that's your one administrator.
Yeah.
But, and did you go to the income repayment program or no?
I have not yet. No, because I think I was, when I saw those two that would fit for me, I got into this whole wormhole of the whole like file married, file separate. So I was like, oh my God, what do I do? And then I panicked and then I didn't sign up for anything.
Okay, so that's probably going to be, that'll probably be your first step. But yeah, I would say, I think it'd be worth doing a little consult with Leslie's team mm-hmm. and checking off all the boxes and making sure you have all of it right. But yeah, you're going to have to get into one of the income-based repayment programs. And then you're going to have to get it certified. And you just started working for them, right? This past August?
Yeah. I just, like, I think July 31st was my first day. And then I finished school May 2020.
Okay, perfect.
So I had a couple months where I wasn't working. And then I started.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. So let's make sure we get this squared away ASAP so that we can get this started to count for you, because it'd be great if you could just pay based on your income for the next 10 years and then have the majority of your loan forgiven, especially. And I think that's why it's important to commit the 10 years to working for the government, because then mm-hmm. you'll just have to pay little bits on this for 10 years and then you can be done with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been getting, I haven't heard of anybody like doing this program in my office or like successfully doing it. So I've kind of been asking around so many people, like, who do I get it signed by and who do I send it to? I finally got an answer from one of my coaches. So she told me exactly who I need to send it to in headquarters. So now I know the process. So now I'm pretty confident of like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing every year. So I have all the paperwork. I just need to get it signed and sent to our headquarters.
Okay, perfect. Well, that's good that you did that, because I feel like that's also a hurdle to figure out who in your office is going to help you qualify.
Yeah, I'm like, I feel like giving it, because they're like, you have to get it signed by your like direct manager. And I'm like, I feel like she's going to look at this and be like, what is this? Like, what do you want me to do? Okay, Barbara, I have another question though. So with the world being crazy right now, and student loans have been like, what's the proper word? Like deferred? Like we don't have to pay them?
There's no interest on them currently through October, which is
okay.
So, which worked out really well for you since you just graduated, because if, correct me if I'm wrong, but your balance should be identical from what it was. It shouldn't be growing at all.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess like, I don't know. Cause I read something on like some page that I follow that it still counts for public service loan forgiveness, but I'm like, I don't know if that means like just the months are adding up with no payments, or you would have to be paying still for.
That is a great question. Yes, because you're not obligated to make any payments, and I would have to look that up to see what they've said about the public service loan forgiveness. But you're not delinquent, right? This is basically a pause on the student loans. So I would hope that this period of time is counting for you, so that we could be 1 year in.
Awesome.
But
okay, then I need to get this done ASAP.
We need to get you set up ASAP. And this would it's just my recommendation. I'm sure people have figured it out online. I just think because people have been so unsuccessful with getting through this program and getting it forgiven, I would go talk to a person who has probably helped. You know, she's definitely negotiated loan forgiveness. So I think that's why she would be the one. I don't know many people who have an expertise in student loans. And so I think it'd be worth paying whatever the hourly is to just say, here are the forms. This is what I filled out. Is this all correct? Is there anything I'm missing or any mistakes that I should be, you know, looking out for?
Okay, got it. I feel a little more confident now. Thank you.
Yeah, I just think that it's like when you're only doing something, you know, the first time you're doing something in anything in life, it's easy to make a mistake. And this is just so critical that it's done right.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely, that's what I would do if I were in your shoes. And even though like I've read so much about this, I would still be like, you know what, I'm going to hire somebody who does only this, because I do eight other things during the day. So it's not my expertise.
Exactly.
Perfect.
I'm trying to be an expert at everything, and it's I'm amateur.
Yeah,
I'm flirting. I'm getting by.
Yeah, it is hard. It is hard to be an expert at everything. Okay, perfect. So we're going to get you in the public loan forgiveness program. We're going to get a consultation from an expert on this, just to make sure you're in it right, because there have been so many mistakes with this program between the recertifying with the employer, making sure you're in whatever is your best income-based option, how do you file now that you're looking to get married, and making sure we actually get all of the student loan forgiven over the next 10 years. And then you're going to have a little bit of homework. I would like to see your retirement benefits, just so we can see if that 9% is your pension, just so we have a better understanding of what benefits you have with your government job. Since we're planning on being in the government job for 10 years, want to maximize it. And then how are we doing with the credit card debt?
Okay, so that credit card, it's actually only one credit card, but I'm like super proud of myself because I've just been throwing my money. My credit card debt was like
$18,000.
Oh my God. And I got it. Yeah. During grad school, I was swiping. They were increasing. So I was swiping.
Swipe heavy. You're like, I'll just swipe with this.
Yeah, because I worked I only worked on Fridays, and that was literally like just my gas money. Because I had a crazy commute for grad school. It was just insane. So it is a $6,000 credit card, but I'm so happy it's not that $18,000 anymore.
You're making some big headway with your credit card.
Yeah, I just want a house. I want a house so bad. So I'm trying to get all of our expenses and like our credit like good. So I'm just super picky right now with like, I don't know what it's called. I think it's called like a zero balance. Like I make sure like every dollar of my checks is like going to something.
Okay, great.
So
I was going to ask. When you get done with your, so you're really piling on the credit card. So when you get done with that, are you going to take that money and then use that to save for a down payment?
Okay. So that's where things, not things get tricky, but so my, my fiance's, parents were, generous enough to leave him with money. So he has around, they left him with around maybe like 100,000.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so he really wants to, use that money to, for a down payment. Okay. I've been hearing like so many things like, first time homeowners, like they only pay 3% or something like that. So obviously like I would feel terrible to use like all of his money. So I wouldn't want to do that. So, but yeah, we pretty much have, I think we pretty much have a down payment covered, but obviously still this is LA and prices are
terrible. Crazy. So yes, yeah. Home buyer, you have the option, if you use an FHA loan, you don't have to put as much down. If you put less than 20% down, you're going to pay PMI, which is primary mortgage insurance. So mm-hmm. I would say, depending on the, because you, the thing is, you're used to paying a really high rent, right? And with interest rates really low, what you're used to paying in rent would probably still be comfortable. The one thing I will warn you is houses, when things go wrong, it can be very, very expensive. Not that this is a normal cost. I don't know what happened to my sewage pipe, but it cost me $21,000 to Band-Aid it.
Wow. Not even fix it, Band-Aid it.
I have a $21,000 Band-Aid 15 feet under the ground somewhere.
Oh my goodness.
So I always like to warn people that with things with a house, you're now in charge of like all everything inside. So right, the roof, the furnace, sewage is particularly expensive, I found out. And you are usually liable for, especially in a city, running your sewage line to the main line. And that typically isn't very insurable, meaning it's not usually covered. It's just your, like, kind of like your roof. And a roof is really expensive investment too. So I wouldn't go up to what you're paying in rent for a mortgage. I would go lower just so that you have some wiggle room in your budget to save for like emergencies with a property.
Okay.
Because it's always, the way I look at it, it's always better to be conservative and be prepared for an emergency, right? And then have a buffer of cash so that if something happens with the furnace or, I mean, in LA, you probably do, you probably don't use that much heat. I don't even know if you would use that much air conditioning. But if a pipe bursts or something happens in the property, like a sewage line or something like that, or the roof, you have money available so it doesn't end up on a credit card.
Yeah. Yeah. So you would recommend, if not the same rent, just staying. Well, like staying at that,
but where you're all in, like where that's going to do taxes, insurance, mortgage. And then I would make sure that I always like to call it like the house emergency fund. Like you all should have your own emergency fund. You have a government job, so you're usually a little bit more stable than a private sector job. But I feel like you should always be putting away money for the house so that when something comes up, like, you know, like if you have to call a plumber, right? That those little variable things that come up with owning a property don't set you back financially.
Yeah, yeah. So this is like, I also have a financial example for me and my fiance whenever. So basically what we're trying to do is we each have our separate savings accounts just so we have, you know, a little something separate, but we also want a joint savings for those purposes, like for house, like in case something happens. So our goal is to get like 6,000 in our separates and then like 15 to 20 in our joint. That's our goal. It'll take probably a couple tries, but right now for my savings, I have like 15,000. And that's really just because I feel terrible that he's going to put down the down payment. So I was like, well, I'll pay closing costs. So that's my contribution to whenever we do get a house.
Perfect. And wait, I have a question for you though. If you have $15,000 in cash, right? Have you thought about using some of that to pay off the credit card and then just replenishing your savings?
Okay. So if I'm being completely honest, this is why the 15,000 is there, because I for the program I went, so I got my master's in social work and I was part of a stipend
Okay.
program. So they gave me 40,000, but what I did that was terrible that I've done a lot of stupid financial things. So what I did was I took out the max loans and just used the 40,000 for like living
Okay.
expenses. But what I should have just done is, factored in the 40 and only took out like the difference. So that 15,000 is there because I wanted it as a cushion just in case like the student loan like payment, just in case like it got too overwhelming or something, I was gonna use that. Yeah. So technically like I'm now that I'm just gonna use it for but I was gonna replenish it until the September. Till we have to start paying again. So I have so many like little jumbled replenishments in my head. But I did not think about like I totally could like because I really don't mind throwing my paychecks at like a card or if it gets it down, like it gets it down. So I definitely don't mind doing that, what you
I
had just
would do
explained
that
right
because your
now.
interest rate on your credit card is, I'm just gonna guess, is significantly higher than your bank account interest.
Yeah, it's like 22% or
Yeah, so you
something.
could just pay that off and probably replenish, because what are you putting a month towards the credit cards?
I've kind of just been a month, I've been putting like around 1,000, but it just keeps creeping up, Barbara.
So I would take it out of. I would take it out of the savings account. I would pay it off, and then I would pay yourself back because you'll have yourself paid back before the you have to start paying on the interest on the student loans. And the student loans will
Got
be
it.
based
Okay.
on income, so it shouldn't be that high because we should get you. You should be by the time October rolls around, you should be able to have paid back yourself into your savings account. You then have no credit card. And we should be in the loan forgiveness program at that point. Even though you won't have a payment until October, you should have like the approximate calculation, so it should still be income based.
Got it. Got it.
Does
I
that make
like
sense?
that goal. I wrote it down. Yes. And then my car too. I know my car, I owe 10,000. That's another stupid thing I did. Oh my God. I'm paying double for my car,
Oh.
pretty much. I was like super stubborn and I wanted a brand new car in 2015. I was like, no, I want a new car. I want a new car. So I leased it, but I lived like 100 miles from where my undergrad
Gosh.
was. So I was just racking up my miles on my freaking leased car, not knowing that I
Okay.
have to pay
Yeah, you
extra
pay
for the
extra for the mile,
miles.
and they really charge you a lot.
Yes. So when I went back to the dealer, he's like, dude, what did you do with it? And I explained my situation and he said, to be honest, I mean, I don't even know if this is true. He might have totally got me, but he was like, I would just say keep it because you're gonna have to pay extra for the miles. So now I'm pretty much paying double for my car.
Okay, so I would also look to maybe refinance that. I don't know what your interest rate is on that, but I would look to see if you can make that more efficient. All right, so you are getting a lot of homework here, my dear. Okay, so I want you
Yes.
to jot down your homework. So I want you to get your retirement plan information so we know what your benefits are at work. You are
Okay.
going to get into the income-based repayment, and you're gonna, I think, whether you meet with Leslie or you meet with another student loan, I would meet with somebody who's an expert in the public loan forgiveness program so that we can make sure that you're really set up properly for that. Because I just looked it up, but it looks like the most recent data is that 1,200 people had their loans forgiven under the program, which was an improvement from the original, like 100 people, but over 100,000 applications were rejected. So,
Man, okay. I need to talk
yeah,
to
you need to, well,
Leslie.
just confirm that we talked to somebody. And then I want you to look at your lo I want you to pay off the credit card debt and then replace your replenish your emergency fund so that we get that back up to 15,000, which you should be able to do in basically 6 months, give or take, 6 or 7 months, which will get you to right before you have to start making your loan payments. Yes. And then I want you to look at potentially refinancing your car loan to make it more efficient.
Okay. How do you go about refinancing?
So that's a great question. You want to shop around. I was going to say, my dad always really promotes credit unions. He always promoted them to me. Not necessarily has to be a credit union. I would just look to see who's offering a low rate on a car loan. And then you go to them and say, I have this existing loan. This is what I'm paying. And see if they can do better, right? So if you're paying 4%, maybe they can give you something for 2.5%.
Okay, cool. Actually, my fiance, it's in some type of credit union. It's called like LAPCFU or something. And he actually just put my name under it too. So maybe I could go through there.
Yeah, because then you're a member. So with a credit union, you need to be a member. So then you have an account with them. So you could go to them and just say, do you have any, like, what's your car loan rate, and see what they're offering. And then you can refinance it.
Okay. Does that cost anything, to refinance?
It usually does. It just, but it could still save you money over the long term. You just have to see what it's going to cost to do it and what the new rate is going to be.
Okay. So you think a fair rate, like a pretty good rate, is like between 2 and 3-ish?
Yeah. Or if you can get it down lower. I'm not sure. Do you know what you're paying currently on your car loan?
No.
Okay. You have to see what you're currently paying, and then you have to see what you could get out in the marketplace. And I would start with the LA credit union.
Okay.
And then see, and they should be able to run the numbers, and you're more than welcome to send them to me. But you basically want to be saving money is the goal.
Got it.
Reduce your cost on the car.
Okay. Awesome. Man, Barbara, I thought I was prepared for you today. I don't know a lot of things.
That's okay. We'll get you there. Just, I want you to do all of these things before you buy a house.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. That will be my mission, because I want a house. Oh my God. Like, in, it's been raining. Well, I say raining, but in LA, we don't know what real rain is. But anyway, so it's been raining here and there, and it keeps seeping through our vents and everything like that. So we're like, in our head, we're like, man, we just want a house. But then also, if that were to happen in our house, we would have to worry about it, not the landlord.
Yeah, 100%. And I always say it's better to wait like a year and make sure you're financially ready, and then you can enjoy it rather than doing it a little too early and being stressed.
Yeah, that's – I'm pushing for it. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, I want it so bad. And my fiance's like, I really think we should wait a little more or things like that. So I'm being stubborn. But to be honest, yeah, I think that might be the way we have to go, is kind of just wait.
Yeah, you'll probably enjoy it way more. If I think we need to check off some of these little to-dos first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you'll be in a better financial position, like when you go to qualify for the loan too, because you'll have the credit card debt down. You'll have made more progress on the car loan. Hopefully we can make that more efficient. You'll know what your student loan payment is going to be based on the income base. We'll know how you're going to be filing your taxes. So you'll have a lot checked off, because these are all going to be things that come up with the mortgage application.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. You gave me a lot today.
Yeah, and I also didn't know a lot, but I'm going to work on it.
No, you're right. They don't teach this in school, which is the whole reason I like to do the podcast. So thank you for coming on. And then for all of our lovely listeners, the best place to get up-to-date information is on Instagram at the Future Rich Podcast. And we are also partnered with SUNY Ulster for our online personal finance classes, which you can find at www.planential.com.